Appreciate the service this morning. The Lord has truly been present and sweet.
Amen.
And we desire to continue with that and to please the Lord with a little word this morning. It's been way too long since I've last been here. It is always encouraging. It's one of the benefits of being a saint of God is you know you got family all over the country. And there's nothing like being road weary and walk into the building and see family.
Yeah.
There's just people, I have a lot of friends that people I work with that aren't saved and they don't understand it, they don't get it. And you try to explain it, but it just, I don't know, sometimes words just fail you. It's just, you have family wherever you go and you feel right at home. There's just something about it that is just, it's comforting.
Yes.
It really is. And it's not something you can fake. It's not something that you organize with some kind of program, but it's real. It's at the heart level. It's at the soul. And it just, it's just the way the Lord has made it. And I really enjoy that. I'm enjoying it this morning. I'm glad to see faces. And I know and trust that you're glad to see me as well. I have a lot of things the Lord has put on my heart. And to be honest, when I was coming out to the funeral, I wasn't just trying to save money by getting a cheaper ticket flying to Dallas. But I wanted, there was an opportunity, and I wanted to come by and just be in service with you. I had honestly no intentions of preaching. I told my daughter, you think it'll be all right if I leave my Bible at home? And she said, Dad, that's a surefire way to guarantee that the Lord is going to embarrass you. I took her counsel. But the Lord has given some thoughts. I want to, by the help of the Lord, to talk a little bit this morning about spiritual confidence.
Yes.
And about us as a people of God having a real confidence that comes from within and works its way out.
Yes.
That we as a people of God, in spite of the time period in which we live, that we would not only be successful, that we would not only be victorious, but that we would actually walk around as God intends for His people, circumspectly. So see that you walk circumspectly. And when you think about that, I imagine you get a mental image like I do, and that's not somebody with their shoulders slumped or their head or their chin tilted down and just kind of moping along and hoping they can just make it. When it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to the plan of salvation, and the way God has laid it out for His people, we are to be meek, we are to be humble, but we are a people to have a confidence, not in ourselves, not even in the church per se, but in God Himself and how He works through His church and how He works through His people and how He works through me as an individual. And therein where it lies our confidence. And it's not something, as the world says, you know, fake it till you make it. There are a lot of people out there that are extremely insecure and extremely reticent in their personality, but you wouldn't know it to talk to them. You wouldn't know it to look at them because they've got this facade going on. And I would to God this morning that the Lord in His mercy would help us not to take on the tactics and the strategies of the world. I know how it is sometimes where you feel a little insecure and you're not sure where you are spiritually. You don't understand some of those things. And so you're like, well, I'm just going to fake it. I'm going to do the things that I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to put forth the good face and not look and be exposed. And the Lord has something better for us this morning. The Lord wants to work with us. If you find yourself in that place this morning, there's hope for you. I'm here to tell you there's hope. There is a God in heaven that loves you, that cares so much about you, and He wants to fix that. He wants us to be a people that have a confidence that when we walk out of this building and we walk out into the world where they're so confused, it's crazy out there. We all know it. You don't need me to tell you that. But that they get really bold, and when they get together and they have a lot of numbers, it seems to be strange. strength in numbers, but I'm here to tell you this morning that you, as a lone child of God, the spirit that is in you is greater than you that is in the world. And so it is that you can walk out there with confidence. You don't have to be backwards. You don't have to be bashful. You don't have to be like, well, if the Lord gives it to you, you can deliver it with full authority and not worry about how it might be received or perceived or what they're going to think of you and all these different kinds of things. And we get limited in thinking, well, I'm not the one. I can't do it. We get that spirit of Moses sometimes. I can't even speak, and I don't have the words. And the Lord says, no excuse. I'm going to empower you, and I'll give you your security blanket. You can take your brother with you if you want. God is a merciful God. He didn't berate Moses for that. He just met the need that he had and sent him on his way. You ever notice that Moses never needed Aaron to talk for him? Anybody ever notice that this morning? God was merciful, gave him what he asked for, but he still sent him along and still empowered him. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God desires to do a work in your individual life for you, but he also desires to use you to do a work in this world. There's a whole nother thing I could talk about, like a lot of burning passion about that, but we don't have time for that this morning. We want to talk about that spiritual confidence, and I feel like the Lord has given kind of like a 10,000 foot view. You know, when you're getting on the plane, you're heading up and you just kind of, you can look at everything and it's kind of general. I'm not going to be able to get all together into all the different details. There's multiple messages that I feel like that we could go in a lot of different ways, but I feel like the Lord this morning wants us to just get that 10,000 foot view and start to pique our interest, to get a little bit of our curiosity. And then my encouragement, my homework to you, is that you go home and you meditate on it. You start to dig into the Word and look, what thus saith the Lord, and allow God to do His work and start that process wherever we are and wherever we find ourselves in this process. Understand that God's desire is to not only to save us and sanctify us, but He wants us to be a confident, strong people. Again, our confidence is in Him. But we are to be that confident people, and that as we walk in this world, we recognize that I'm here to influence it. I don't have to be afraid of it influencing me. So it is that we understand that when it comes to getting confidence and building confidence with God, we have to understand today that it begins with our salvation. If you're not saved, you can't have confidence with God. Only a fool would pretend to think that, hey, I can live any kind of way I want. I can do whatever I want, come and go as I please. Don't have to consider God. Don't have to consider His ways or His precepts or His word. I can just kind of do because, you know, God is love. There are people out there like that. They got this mindset. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how much bravado they put out there and how much they seem to be so confident and on fire for their way of life and everything else, I tell you, when they get home and in the privacy of their own thoughts, in the quietness of the night, when they're getting ready to lay their head on their pillow and go to bed, I promise you the fear of the Lord is there tormenting them. There is something, they don't have that confidence. In front, they can put on such a show.
This is true.
But when you get them off camera, so to speak, and you can get down in that time, when you see them as God sees them, there is no confidence. You remember that man? We don't have time to get to read the scripture, but you know, you're familiar with the story where the Belshazzar, he decided it's time to have a party. Who cares about these sacred things? These aren't sacred. Give me that goblet. Fill it up with my drink and all these different things. And they're just having a good time with the holy vessels of the temple. And he thought he was something. He thought everything was good until God, just with one little hand, only wrote a couple words on the wall, and all of a sudden, all of his strength left him. He couldn't control his knees from knocking. Where's your confidence now? Where's all that bravado? Doesn't matter how you fit. God has a way of handling that. He has a way of humbling people. So it is that as we think about our life, that we have to understand that when we want real spiritual confidence, it starts with us getting right with the Lord. It starts with us recognizing that He is God. He is so far above me. And I need Him. I need Him. There's a scripture I want to get in Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2, I believe the 8th verse we want. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." This is again, why don't we have confidence in ourselves? Because you can't save yourself. You really can't. And I'm gonna just put the other dirty little secret out there that we all know about ourselves anyway. We all know where we fall short. Right. We all know our weaknesses. Yeah. We all know our shortcomings. That's why we try to avoid those things in life. Yeah. God's aware of them too. Mm-hmm. And you're not to be discouraged in that thought. But rather, my hope and my desire and my burden that you're encouraged, that you understand this morning that God says, look, I see you. I know all about you. I know even in the areas of shortcoming and weakness, and I want to make you confident there too. Why? Because it's not in you.
That's right.
It's in me working through you. Right? He goes on to say that it is a gift. That means our salvation, it is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. So it is that when it comes to confidence, we understand that it begins by me getting right with God.
Yes.
Is that a hard process?
No.
It requires the Lord to call.
Yes.
Just because you decide you want to do it isn't enough. It takes the Lord to call.
That's right.
You got to understand. And so it is that when the Lord, this is why it's so important that when the Lord calls, that we listen.
Yes.
Think about it in a natural sense. You go to work, right? How well would you be employed if every time you were at work, your boss said, hey, I need you to come over here really quick, and you just ignored him? It's not going to go very long.
No.
Even HR can't defend you from that. It's called insubordination.
Right.
God is long-suffering. He's merciful. Sometimes we see the wicked doing their things, trying to be all proud and boastful in the face of God, and it seems it takes God a long time to deal with it. And sometimes the enemy will get us thinking, like,
right.
Well, maybe I can do some of that.
Oh.
Maybe I can get away with a little bit of that. It seems like they're able to do it, and they look like they're having a good time. Why can't I? Lord, help us.
Yes.
Lord, help us understand that who God is.
Yes.
Right? When it comes to having spiritual confidence, we need to be right with the Lord. We come when He calls.
Yes.
Right? And I want you to know this morning in John, the 15th chapter, Jesus shares a scripture and he says, look, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Yes.
It's right. Does that not give you some confidence
right.
this morning?
Uh-huh.
How many times in life do you find yourself thinking, well, they're not going to choose me?
Right.
Like, I think that needs to be done. I think the Lord can do that, and He'll use that brother, He'll use that sister, and we point to everybody but ourselves.
Right.
The devil's aware of that. That's how he beats us up, boxes us in, and that's how he limits the work of God.
Right.
And that's ultimately my burden here, what we're talking about. But we got to be equipped and ready to get out and do the work of God. And to do that, sometimes we need to have our understanding right. We need to be right with the Lord. He's the one that calls us. And I want you to understand this morning. I'll give you a little analogy. And I know some of the folks in here are athletes. Brother Henry, Brother Tavis, you know what it's like. In elementary school, you get in PE class. We were the kind of guys that were always chosen to be captains. They always took the most athletic people or those that were the ability and had some bravado. Hey, you're the captains. And then we stand up there and we choose.
Right.
And if we'll be honest and tell you, when we choose, we're playing to win.
Right.
Okay, we're playing to win. So when it looks out there and I'm looking at my first choice, what game are we playing? Right? If we're playing kickball, I'm not taking the kid that weighs 300 pounds in fifth grade.
Right.
Unless he can kick it a mile, way over everybody's else's head. But if he can't, he's not my choice.
Right.
He's going to wait. And so you start to choose those that you believe are going to help your team win.
Right.
Let me ask you something this morning. Do you think God wants to lose?
No.
But He chose you.
Yeah.
Even if you have no confidence in yourself, take the confidence that He's placed in you.
Yeah.
He's chosen you.
Yeah.
You've not chosen yourself. It wasn't the church that chose you. And sometimes there's people and you don't feel chosen by everybody else. If nothing else, you can look in the mirror and say, God has chosen me.
Amen.
He's picked me. And this is where our confidence comes from.
Right.
When I get right with the Lord, when I meet the conditions that He set forth, that I recognize that I'm a sinner and I needed to be saved, and the Lord would meet me there. When the Lord has delivered me, I can stand on that. That's one of those waymarks that I just put in place. There's a stone. It's never going to change.
Right.
As long as I don't want to give it up.
Right.
Understand, we can give that up.
This is true.
And you have no confidence. Right? We're not like some of these other folks out here who say, well, once you got it, it's forever. No, that's not what the Bible teaches.
That's right.
Okay? We can turn loose of that stone, but if we want it to be, it will be, because God himself will hang on to it.
Yes.
Right? In Romans, the 8th chapter, it talks about all these different things. What shall separate us from the love of God? These things, that thing, that thing. And the answer is none of these things. And the world likes to use that to go a little crazy and say, well, it's just forever. You can't lose it. Well, right. The only thing listed there, not listed there, is self.
That's true.
Self has the ability to do it.
Yes.
Right? Because we make a willful choice. So we know this morning that spiritual confidence begins by being right with the Lord. Answering the call. And so I would encourage anyone here, if you find yourself in a place and you're waffling, and you're not sure.
Right.
You're not sure of your salvation, or you're not sure that... Begin to ask the Lord.
Yes.
Well, call me. I want to be on your team. I want to be a winner. I want to be able to do the things that you want me to do. I want to have the best possible life.
Right.
Stop listening to what everybody, oh, you want to be on that team? You know, oh, man, you don't know what's going to happen over there. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen over there on God's team. I've read the whole book.
Yes.
He wins.
That's right.
He doesn't just win in the end. He wins all the time. In fact, he's undefeated.
Yes.
So it is that we take courage. We take great confidence. I know as a kid when I was captain and I was picking different kids, I would look and say, well, I got a good team. Especially if the other kid was kind of new to the school and they got an opportunity to be captain and they didn't know who to pick and they're picking all the ones that were, those are bad choices. Those are like 12th and 18th draft picks and you're taking them first and second, right? You have this great confidence.
Yeah.
But we must understand and never lose sight of the fact that our confidence is in the Lord.
That's right.
It's not in us.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, just as sure as the enemy can box you in and make you think that you can never be saved and you can never be right, he'll also box you in and think you're so great and you're so wonderful and you're the one that has to do this and you're the one that has to do that. He'll take it one extreme or the other.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
Yes.
So we understand this morning that our confidence comes when we get right with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, you get more confidence when you desire to let the Lord be supreme in your life.
Amen.
We use words, right? We talk about sanctification. And really all that is I've come to a place where I've spent time with the Lord. I've thought about what's really going on. And I'm not just content to be saved, but Lord, I want to give you control.
Yes.
Take control of my life.
Yes.
We sometimes make that way harder than it needs to
right.
be. But it's just when I get to the place and the time where I'm willing to recognize in my soul and in my will that, Lord, I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to admit that you know what's best for my life. And I'm not just willing at this one time to give it to you, but I'm willing at this one time to make a commitment that I'm going to give it to you the rest of the days of my life.
Thank you, Lord.
That you're going to make decisions where I work, where I live, who I marry, all the different things of life. Lord, you're going to make those decisions.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Why? Because this is the best team to be on.
Right.
This is the winning side. And there's great confidence. I'll say this also, when you get, there's times when I'm not the captain and you get picked on a team, you know, and you look around and, you know, sometimes you can't be good at every sport.
Right.
Sometimes there's somebody a little bit better than you at something.
That's right.
And you always got excited when you look, you're like, oh yeah, there's the best kid in the class and I'm on his team. There's a confidence. You look at that every time things are going, and even when things look tough, you look over, and there he is, the ringer, the champion, the one that will handle it all.
Right.
You remember the Philistines? They had that same feeling,
yes.
too. It happens
yeah.
in the secular world.
Right.
Here's our big man. Here he is, big raw, right? They were so excited. We got our man.
Yes.
They had great confidence, but they didn't understand that God had a man too, and God had a power that he was going to use through that man to bring their giant down.
Yes.
And so it is this morning that we understand that there's great confidence when we look to see who's on our team.
Thank you, Lord.
Who's the captain? The one that we were singing, he bled and died for me.
Yes.
All the songs that we were singing this morning are pointing to this very thing,
yeah.
that he is our man, he's our champion, he's undefeated, and we're on his side.
Yeah.
It should give us confidence that no matter what circumstance I walk into, that's why the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things.
Yes.
Why? Through Christ Jesus, who strengheneth me. When he gave his testimony, he says, within were fears and doubts
right.
and all the different things that he saw on the outside. But God was faithful.
Yes.
You hear the testimony of the brother this morning.
Amen.
Do you hear the testimony of your brethren? When we come together and we share different stories, those are to build up our confidence. Those are to build up our faith to believe and to know and to be strengthened so that when we get out of here and we go out into the world, we're walking circumspectly.
Amen.
We're walking with a purpose. We're walking with a sense of a power that is not our own.
That's right.
But it's from Him. And now I'm able to get up and I'm able to walk out and I'm able to affect the situation. When the Lord tells me and the Lord's leading, I believe that what the Lord has given me is enough.
Yes.
I believe it will affect the situation. I think about how important it is when we talk about building this confidence in the Lord and having spiritual confidence, that you need to know who He is.
Right.
Yeah. Again, we could spend weeks of revival meeting, night in, night out, talking about who God is, all His different names, Elohim, El Shaddai, and all these different things. Yeah. I'm going to encourage you to take it home.
Yeah.
Study it. Lord, teach me. Show me who You are. You ever want to be surprised at who God is? Start to spend time alone with Him. And Lord, teach me. Show me. How many times did David say, Lord, teach me Thy ways?
Yes.
Solomon, when he was at, Lord says, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. And he says, the task is too big. Show me.
Yes.
Teach me.
Yes.
What was Solomon's testimony? Was it not that he was the wisest man on earth?
Yes. Right.
Why? Because that's what he asked for.
Right.
Scripture teaches us that we can ask boldly before the throne of grace,
right,
who giveth liberally and upbraideth not.
Right.
This is where our confidence comes from. If I don't know, I know where to go get the answer.
Yes.
And so it is that we understand that we need to understand who our champion is. We need to understand whose team we're on,
yes,
and what He's capable of doing. Oh, He can raise the dead to life. He can give the blind sight. There's so many different things that He can do. And I know people want to go, well, where is it now? It's all over the place. How many people have come at an altar of prayer, dead in their sins, and been raised to newness of life?
Yes.
Why is it we limit? It's got to be something physical that I can see, like it's some kind of magic trick, and I get excited in my mind.
Right.
Lord, work in my soul.
Yes. Right.
Work at the depths of who I am. Give me something that I can hang on long beyond what I can see. We live in a day and time where AI has become popular. Deep fakes, we're all familiar with that term. You realize they can take your voice now? I mean, some of us preachers, we preach, right? All they do is play a 10-second snippet of that, and they can record it. And with AI, they can start to type words into a computer, and it will use our voice but say whatever they type.
Right.
You understand? There's a lot of implications that can go on there.
Right.
A lot of different things, and it can go sideways, crooked, and wherever, and it can start to shake confidence. You could send fake emails, start to break up marriages, like, look, this is what this person said, and all these different kinds of things. And you think about how uncertain the times are, but you know what? I don't get discouraged with it. Because I know whose side I'm on. I know who my champion is. And I encourage you this morning that we would dig into the Word and we would spend time alone with God. Ask Him to start to give revelation unto us. The Apostle Paul in the 12th chapter, I think, of Corinthians, he says, because of the abundance of revelations that were given to me, there was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. We're familiar with that scripture, right? What we usually miss is what he said in the beginning. Because of the abundance of revelations. You realize that's ours to have. The Lord will give us revelation of who He is and help us to understand who He is, because it does something within us. It inspires a confidence. If the work of God was left up to you and your abilities and inabilities, I don't think you need me to tell you all the areas where it's going to suffer.
Right. Right.
Or the areas where you thought it might prosper and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of us will probably sit there and go, if it's left up to me, it's not going to get done.
Right.
Because I'm no good at this, I'm no good at that, no good at that. The devil's really quick to point out all the things and help you to.
Yep.
But with God,
yes,
I can do anything.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Do you really got a hold of that this morning?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or are you just like, preacher, that sounds nice. Well, if you find yourself there was a man in the Bible like that. He said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, you want more confidence in the Lord? Be honest. If you're in a place where you're struggling, you can't accept it, you know that it says it or you heard it.
Yes.
Lord, I can't. I can see it for other people, but I don't see it for me.
Right.
Can I challenge you?
Yes.
to go after the Lord yourself.
Amen.
And to be honest and say, Lord, this is where I'm at. And I need help.
Yes.
I need you to give me something.
Yes.
You know what you're going to find? He's going to fulfill the promise that he gave in his word. He said, in the day that you seek after me with your whole heart, I'll be found of you. That's a promise. It can't change. God cannot lie. Right. So it is that we can have confidence, right? Think about some of these banks. There's bank runs.
Yeah.
What causes you to believe that the bank that you bank at is going to be there tomorrow and your money in it?
Mm.
You have some kind of confidence in that, right? But I guarantee you, if you start seeing things on social media or hearing it on the news or whatever, you start getting, wait a minute, there's long lines at the bank. Let me get in line. What's going on? No, I got to let me get mine. Mm-hmm. Confidence is gone.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, throughout the history of time, there have been many different worldly organizations come and go, but there's been one thing that has remained constant, and that is our God.
Yes.
He has remained the same yesterday, today, and forever. It inspires confidence because you know it's always going to be there. You know that you can always count on the Lord. And even when we get crazy and in our ideas, and we just, there's been folks that decide, I don't want to do the ways of God. I'm going to go somewhere else. But you know what? Just like the prodigal son, you feel it too. You know exactly where to go back.
Yeah, that's right.
And contrary to what the devil tells you, the saints ain't bitter.
No.
They're not there looking at you. You're about time you come back. No. A real saint of God has hiked it up and ran to you, just like the father in the parable. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're home. You've been missed.
Amen.
You know what that does to inspire confidence? When you feel that love that's unconditional, this is why it's important to get saved, because it's when we start to realize what unconditional love really is all about.
Right.
And it does something to inspire somebody. It does something to give them courage and strength to be able to walk circumspectly, to be able to feel like they can affect the situation and add value to it, because they've been given something so precious. I don't want anybody to miss out on this. I want everybody I know to experience that unconditional love that God offers, and just what it feels like to be freed of all your sin. No more debt. It's paid in full. I don't have to walk out of here and think, well, they're going to come up with some other charge, and here's this, they got me again. No, it's all done. It's all gone.
Yes.
Oh, there's a confidence that that brings.
Yes.
And I would to God that everybody I meet comes in contact with that. I want us all to get a hold of that. I want us to hang on to that as we continue to live, because you know what happens? The enemy tries to drain it out.
Right.
You get up from that altar of prayer, you're so excited, you're forgiven, you're all on fire for the Lord, and a couple weeks later, the devil's right there to snatch it all away.
Sure.
Maybe you've been living for the Lord for a long time. Sometimes the devil will do that. He'll play the long game with you too.
Yes.
I'll just, no, you go on. Yeah, you run on. You do what you do. And pretty soon he's waiting. He's right there. He's on the side. And then it's just one little thing here.
Right.
One little thing there. And he puts puts a feather on your back, right? Another little feather. You don't even feel it.
Right.
It was nothing.
Uh-huh.
You know? After a while, you got 80, 90 extra pounds on there you're trying to carry. And you're wondering why it's so hard and so this and it's so that. Our confidence is in Him.
Yes.
Our confidence is in the Lord.
Yes.
And we would do well to know who He is. I think also it's important that we know who we are.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I spent several weeks preaching on this at home. But again, I said, we don't have a lot of time to get into this. I'm going to tell you, there's an identity that you have.
That's correct.
But then there's an identity that you have in Christ.
Yes.
And too many times we try to live for Christ according to our old identity. I got a newsflash for us. Reminder, if any man or woman is in Christ Jesus, behold, he is a new creation.
Amen.
New creature.
Yes.
Behold, all things are past. All the old things are past, and all things have become new.
Amen.
The Lord wipes it clean. There might be personality traits that you have, but they've been used in an unsanctified way. The Lord wants to use them in a sanctified way.
Right.
Okay? The Lord will change it, but you've got to be willing to let your mind change too.
Yes.
Okay? So you've got to be able to see yourself as God describes you. Some of the folks in here, I can look around, I can already tell by just your body language, some of you weren't, you know, when we talked about PE and choosing, you could see some of the worry, like, yeah, I wasn't the kid picked first. In fact, what we would tend to do is, and we'll be honest, we got down near the last four or five, we started going, doesn't matter who I pick, there's just an out. I'm playing kickball, they're an automatic out. And to my shame, I know there were times where I looked at the other kid and I said, you can have the rest. We'll take the outfield. Because I'm trying to eliminate outs, right? You subtract the negative. That's a net positive. And I understood that as a very young kid. And a lot of times people are walking around and they see themselves as that negative that's been subtracted.
Right.
I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not how God sees you.
Amen.
He picked you. He chose you. He sees you as a first pick, not the last one that I just got to choose someone. All right, I'll take that one. Doesn't matter. That's not how God looks at you.
Amen.
If you look at yourself that way, God wants to heal that. It's affecting your spiritual confidence when you don't see yourself rightly. There's so many different things it says in Scripture that we're ministers of reconciliation, we're ambassadors, we're kings and priests, and all these different things that we titles that the Lord has put on you. It's not that I put it on you. It's not the church. It's not somebody that's just doting over you. It's God Himself and His Word said, this is your title as my child.
Yeah. Amen.
You can choose not to accept your title. It comes at a cost. I want to encourage you to explore the Word. What is the title that God has given you?
Yes.
Walk in that title.
Amen.
Because if you are ignorant of it, it's kind of like someone that was born a prince and nobody told them. They have an entirely different lifestyle.
This is true.
Whereas if they were born a prince and I said, look, you're a prince, and they start doing all these different things, they're going to act differently. It's no different for us.
Right.
It's no different for us. The Lord has called us kings and priests, ambassadors. There's a whole set of responsibilities that come with being an ambassador.
Yeah.
We don't have time to get. I want to encourage you, please, look and see who God says you are and stop thinking about who you think you are.
Right.
Don't allow other people to define you.
Yeah.
So many times, people have known us for a whole life, saved and unsaved, and now they're like, well, that's just who they are. Even when you're saved, no, the Lord's got something better. The Lord's got something different.
Yeah.
We've got to get a hold of it. Lord, help me to believe it. Help me to see it. Help me to just be able to take hold of that, dear God.
Yes.
It's okay if you're struggling in faith and you're not there yet.
Right.
It's all right. I'm here to tell you, God, it's all right. Go see Him.
Yep.
He'll take care of that. He'll bring you along. I think about also... our connection to God. This is why it's so important. You hear preachers all the time, you need to read, you need to pray. Well, one of the things you need to understand why we say that is because we want you to maintain your connection with God.
Yes.
When you maintain that connection, there's confidence that flows from that.
Right.
I regularly have, I had some issues coming down here dealing with rental cars and stuff like that. You know, if I hadn't talked to Brother Tavis and Brother Henry from time to time, I would be very hesitant to hit them up on a text because I'm in trouble and in need. In a natural sense, I'd be like, well, I haven't done X, Y, and Z, so I haven't earned the right. And a lot of times people get that mindset in their mind that, I have to do X, Y, and Z in order for God to bless me. In order for God to love me, in order for God to accept me, in order for me to have... No, God does it anyway. He gives it to you. Understand, righteousness is not something you do.
Right.
It's His righteousness that He gives to you. You get to put it on, and it can't help but do things, and you just happen to be the one moving around with it.
Right.
Understand, that's how it works. That's how God designed it.
Yeah.
Okay? And so it's not that you have to sit out here and do all these different things, and then somehow you're going to get the favor. It's already there.
Yes.
But it's important for us, psychologically speaking, and what helps us and affects a little bit of us spiritually, is that we maintain that connection with God.
Amen.
So that He's familiar with us. That's why we read. That's why we pray. Lord, you're my best friend.
Yes.
I want to talk to you. If nothing else, you're my champion.
Yes.
There's a problem.
Yes.
You know, we also can come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is amazing.
Yes.
Look at this.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I want to share this with you.
Yes.
You start to do that, all of a sudden, God becomes very familiar with you and you have great confidence.
Yeah.
Now when you're facing a dire circumstance and there's a situation, you have no problem making that call. Lord, I need you now.
Yeah.
It's not, Lord, I just come every time there's a problem.
No.
Lord, I'm with you all the time.
Amen.
I'm talking to you all the time. You know, because we have the really high mountains and we have the low valleys, but most of life is lived in between. What I call the glorious mundane.
Oh.
Because that's most of life. It's just, you know, you get up, you eat, you got your little routine, you do your things, you go to work, you come home, you got your family, do your devotion, you get back to bed, and then you do it again.
Yes.
There's no major phone calls today, no major problems, nobody died, no major accidents or this kind of thing, right? No major, oh, rejoicement, this person got saved. Most of life is in the glorious mundane.
Right.
We need to be connected to the Lord during that time as well.
Yes.
Right? This is why we encourage the reading and the praying, because it also starts to reveal who God is. We start to build up experiences with the Lord. We talk to Him. We're familiar and all these different kinds of things. It's no big deal. I don't get rattled. I don't get shaken. There's something that's a little bit out of the ordinary now, whether positive or negative.
Yes.
But He's still the same. We still know each other. We're still familiar.
Right.
You're still there. And I can come, and Lord, well, now we got something a little more serious.
Yes.
And there's going to be a steadying, calming effect
Thank
on my
you,
soul.
Lord.
The Lord can do that. And there's a confidence that I know who to go to, and I know He can do something.
Amen.
We also mentioned a little bit, but just us being honest with the Lord.
Yes.
Just because you've been saved and sanctified and lived for the Lord for a long time doesn't mean that you can't struggle.
Sure, that's true. Sure.
It can happen.
Yeah.
A righteous man can trip and fall.
Yeah.
Scripture teaches that.
Yes.
But what does he do?
Yeah.
He gets up every single time.
Amen.
You know, that has the ability to shake someone's confidence.
Sure.
They start getting all these little thoughts, well, I should have known better. I should have done better. I've done, you know, all this with the Lord, and this, that, the other. Now there's this embarrassment, and they want to hide. It's the same as it was for Adam and Eve.
Yes.
You do wrong, and all of a sudden you want to hide. No more confidence. No more excitement. And I'm going to disappear. I'm here to tell you this morning, the Lord won't do you like that.
Amen.
There's a poem I love to read. I won't read it for the sake of time this morning, but I will tell you the name of it. The title of the poem is called The Race by Dee Groberg. First time I ever heard it was when I was in college, and I've hung on to it ever since. It's been such an inspiration to me. It's titled The Race, and I'll paraphrase it, but you can read it and get the full effect. And what it is it's telling a story of these young boys that are getting ready to run a race, and they're all excited, and everybody's lined up, ready to go, got all the excitement, anticipation. I'm going to win. I'm going to be first. They're all thinking the same thing.
Right.
And then one boy in particular took off, and he's running as fast as he can. He's leaving everybody behind, and he's super excited, and here I am. And he's thinking about what it's going to be like when he gets to the finish line and how proud his dad's going to be. And he looks up in the crowd, and there's Dad, which to me represents our Father. He's there. He's watching. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro on the earth. All things are open and naked before His eyes. And there he is, he's running, and we all are like this. Lord, I'm running, look at, you give me all this, and look at what we're doing, this is amazing, and look at the Lord, and not paying attention, hit the first dip, hit the ground. How embarrassing is that? Now that usually comes in the form of multiple different things in our life, usually where we got personality flaws, where we struggle. We get a little bit harsh word or some of these different kinds of things, or we're quick to say whatever, all those different kinds of things, and there it is again. And I guarantee you, the enemy will be right there to say, see, that's who you are. You new? He said, new creation. No, you're still the same. This is who you are. Look. And I'm going to tell you, it's in that moment that you need to be honest.
Yes.
It's in that moment that you need to run after the Lord.
Yes.
It's in that moment that you need to say, God, I need some help.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, you know, when the kid in the story, he's running, he trips and falls, he sees his father and he's got a worried look on his face. The world will tell you, the enemy will tell you, yourself will try to tell you, well, might as well quit. God gave up on me. I'm done. I'm not getting first place. I just tripped. That's embarrassing. Now I don't even feel like getting up. But you know what? You get up.
Right.
It's all right. Actually, I clean myself off. Let me just catch up. I can make it back. And so now we're going to redouble our efforts.
Yes.
Does this not sound familiar spiritually? What happens?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I'm going to be the best saint. I'm going to be 5 minutes earlier than everybody else. And I'm going to call the song. And I'm going to, you know, it's in our humanity. It's just time to be honest with the Lord. And in the story, the little boy is running. He's passing one, passing another. He's like, oh man, I'm going to be right back in first place where I belong. And in his desire to get there, he slips and falls again.
Yes.
You know, if I'd have just stayed down with one embarrassment, that'd have been okay. but two? You know what the world says? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Right? We know all the cliches and the thinking of the world. But somehow he looks, he's like, forget it, I'm done. I'm just going to lay here. And he sees his father. And his father's looking. And the look on his face says, get up. Get up and win your race. You weren't meant for failure here. And so the boy gets up and he runs on. Probably not going to get first. Well, maybe. And he tries. And he's going for all he's worth. And, you know, the great story would be he gets finally past everybody, gets there, and he's all excited. No, guess what? He fell again. Well, what does the world say? Strike three. You're out. You're out. Quit. That's it. You're done. Give up. You're no longer a runner. You're no longer a child of God. You're no longer any of these things. Just pack it in. See how what a mess you made of yourself? You might as well just go on. Don't even be anywhere near anybody you know. Just go on. Just go. But you know what that little boy did? He looked in the crowd. And of all the things he didn't want to see, he saw his father's face. And instead of seeing disappointment, disgust, and embarrassment, he saw the same God of the Bible that I know and love. Amen. That said that he loved me while I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me. Yes. And so it is that he is my advocate, not just in the beginning, but all throughout the walk and all the way until I get to heaven. Yes. He is my advocate. Yes. He is my champion. He is the one that I can look to in the crowd, and even though everybody else is laughing and scorning and ridiculing, and I'm beating myself up, and other people got things to say, but when I look to the Father, and when I see Him, I see a different story. I hear a different song. There's a different inspiration. There's a Father that looks with loving compassion.
Yes.
And says, get up.
Get
up and win your race. This isn't a sprint. It isn't about you. What place you finish in. What's important is that you finish.
Yes.
And that's God's desire. And you can beat yourself up and lay there in the dirt and say, well, you know, if I hadn't fallen so many times, then maybe I would have. But that's embarrassing. There's this and there's that. People are always going to bring this, that up and the other. But the Father is telling you this morning, forget about all that.
That's right.
Get up. I got strength for you.
Yeah.
I got grace for you. I got power to bless you, to anoint you, to take you to the places that I want to use you. I have a purpose for your life. I have things that I wish to accomplish with you. Stop looking for somebody else to do it. I want you. I've chosen you.
Yes.
And regardless of how you feel like you might be struggling, in that moment, if you'll be honest with God, you're going to find and experience His loving kindness, His tender mercies. He's not going to make excuse for sin. He's going to deal with those kinds of things, but He's going to move you from it. He's going to empower you. He's going to strengthen you in areas where you thought you were weak and would always be. You'll find that if you go to God and allow Him to work His perfect work, even in those areas, He starts to make you strong.
Amen.
This is the God we serve, and when we find ourselves walking in the grace of God and walking in His righteousness, you know what that does? That gives you a confidence that nobody can touch.
Right.
That gives you a confidence that nobody in the world can say anything against it. And honestly, nobody in the church. Not that they would, but you know how the enemy likes to talk. And like, well, they said, and it gets all twisted. And so now we think the people in the church are saying, no. But I guarantee you, He can give you a confidence that will allow you to rise above even that.
Yes.
I don't have time to get into some of the other things this morning for the sake of time, but I will say this. There are also some spiritual confidences that are built in how we interact with one another. When things happen that are not like God, things get talked about, said, people get treated a certain kind of way, all of those undermine confidence. And the converse of that is true in that it builds confidence. When we speak kindly one to another and we're loving and affectionate with one another, it does something to build confidence. It causes people to feel loved and accepted and start to see who God really is because they see it working in His people.
Yeah.
So it is that we understand the importance of this spiritual confidence, not only to get myself built up, but to recognize that I also play a role in building up my brethren.
Amen.
Yes. Right? Yes. We can build one another up and build up that confidence and lend them some if they need it, so to speak, if you will, in the way that we speak, in the way that we deal with each other. We pray for one another. We bear one another's burdens. Yes. And so fulfill the royal law of Christ. And what that does is it brings a camaraderie. It brings a confidence. May the Lord help us to pursue our own confidence and that of our brethren. I appreciate your time this morning. I trust the Lord inspired and encouraged.